Hi everyone, it's Elaine Hamilton from the Reiki Center. I thought it might be quite interesting to talk or dive a little bit deeper into this idea of embodying your Reiki flow versus doing your Reiki. And this is in response to a comment that I got, looking about the curiosity in terms of using Reiki or channeling Reiki when we put our hands on our bodies or on somebody else. And this idea that I talk a lot about in terms of embodying it so that the Reiki is simply aligned with us. And so, first of all, sometimes it can be quite useful to distinguish between Reiki as universal life force or universal energy and Reiki as the practice of doing Reiki. And a lovely friend of mine distinguished it as Big R Reiki, as being the practice where we go to a Reiki workshop, or we do Reiki for other people as a therapist, or we do Reiki on ourselves by putting hands on ourselves, or in Reiki 2, when you're using the techniques to send Reiki. So there's like this channeling that happens, if you like, where the Reiki is coming in from the universe through your hands into the person, whether that person is you, whether it's somebody else, or whether it's you're sending it over a distance. I would also include in that when you're sending Reiki to specific incidences, to the past, into the future, for affirmations, all that kind of thing. So Reiki with a big R is this idea of the technique of bundling universal energy and focusing it into a certain place, whether that place is you or somebody else or whatever, right? Now, Reiki with a small r is what I'm talking about when I say embodiment. So small r Reiki is more the term Reiki, which is Japanese for universal life force. So the embodiment is not the embodiment of the channeling, it's the embodying of the universal flow. Right, so it's you are part of a bigger flow, right? I'm a little wave, if you like, on a much bigger ocean. And in a sense, we might believe that, we might not believe that. If you believe that, then there's this idea that you're connected to something bigger. And that connection is my individual flow or life force, my individual life force connected in with a bigger universal life force. So when I talk about Reiki small r as universal life force, I'm not talking about the deliberate, intentional focusing of Reiki through my hands or through my symbols into a specific element. So it will be a little bit like, I'm harnessing the hydroelectric power of the river to channel it into the light bulb or channeling it into the kettle, right? Now, electricity is still potent energy, but I'm now focusing it in through my hands with the practice of Reiki to make something work better, to make it go more smoothly. Okay, so that side of things is your Reiki techniques, it's your tools, it's the attunements, it's the practicing of the Reiki on yourself, it's the practicing on Reiki of others. All that stuff is a kind of distinct technique, essentially, of with intention, how do I focus the Reiki? How do I focus the universal or natural energy that is around me? And how do I focus that down into something specific? Okay. It's like, how do I get the big river and put it through the hydroelectric conductor and run it through the wires and get my light bulb to go on? So it's very specific and it's what we might term big R Reiki. Now, when I talk about embodying the Reiki flow, I am talking about a more spiritual aspect of personal growth that is essentially how do I come into permanent alignment with the greater flow? How do I plug back in so that it's always known to me that I am part of something bigger and I don't keep forgetting? And that forgetting is where the suffering is. Because essentially, every time you forget, every time you're in your head thinking you have to figure something out, that you're just this individual thing running around the world trying to get everything to line up together, and you're pushing against things and you're pulling against things, and you're kind of trying to get other people to do what you want them to do, and you're trying not to, all that stuff, all the activity and the drama. And the pushing and the pulling on our agendas and our belief systems and what we think about this and our opinions, all that stuff is what we forget, is doesn't make up who we are and what we are. Now, that forgetting is what I'm encouraging people to stop doing. Like, stop falling into that. And then sometimes people misunderstand me. I had a few comments around that as well, around no, because if I have a health challenge, then of course I need to plan. I can't just live in the present moment. I've got to plan for the future. Now, or I'm on a journey of becoming more healthy. That's not what I'm referring to at all. Like, the activity is not the issue. If you have a very busy life, or you're running around doing all these kinds of things, like, that's not an issue at all. That is the life flow, that's the activity, that's the water going through the dam, that's the light bulb going on, that's all that stuff. There is no issue with that. You are not struggling with that. Like, you're not suffering because of the amount of stuff. You are suffering if you're suffering. We tend to suffer because of the thinking about that stuff. So, if you're kind of doing the housework and you're hoovering and you're completely in the moment and content with that, there's never an issue with that, right? But if you're hoovering, I'm taking a very basic example here, but you can extrapolate it out, right? If you're hoovering and you're in your thoughts going, I shouldn't be hoovering, it's not my turn to hoover, why am I always the one to hoover, why can't I afford to get someone else to hoover, while you're hoovering, then you have lost the present moment and you have lost yourself into the belief structures of the mind, right? And so when I talk about embodying the flow, really what I'm talking about is when we really are connected. And this happens when we do our Reiki, right? So in a sense, we're doing our Reiki, we come back into a kind of balance or alignment, we feel calmer, we feel more open, we feel content, and we feel kind of at peace. So we find that inner peace. And then what takes us out again is not then coming up off the sofa and coming out of bed and then doing activities. Because you can be very busy doing activities and calm and peaceful and present. There is nothing to stop you doing that. But what tends to happen is that we get up off our Reiki practice and then we start doing activities, no problem, but then the mind starts telling us about the activity, whether we want to do it or not, whether we like doing it or not, whether we should be doing it or not, whether we should be doing something else, whether this, whether that. And if you just watch the mind and start noticing what it's yabbling on about, you will very quickly see that's the root of the suffering. Now, when I talk about suffering, I'm not talking about physical suffering through illness, because that's going to be there whether you're doing your Reiki or whether I'm not talking about that. If you have physical pain, that is not the same as suffering. Like, physical pain is physical pain. Suffering is the crap you add on top of it about that pain. Right? It's like the hoovering. You can hoover and have a perfectly pleasant time hoovering, Or you can make it a living hell for yourself. And we've all done that in different activities. You think about a chore you hate doing, and then you ask yourself, is it actually the chore I hate doing, or is it my mind that I hate because it's it's nagging me about this? I don't know about you, but when you start to inquire as to the root of your suffering, and I mean mental suffering, okay, not physical pain, the mental suffering is 100% to do with what you are thinking about a certain situation. And that's the same, even if it's you think it's a relationship issue, what you are thinking about that relationship and that person. Now, again, please don't misinterpret me. If somebody is abusing you, that is not suffering, mental suffering. That's abuse, right? It's like, get really clear about what I'm saying here. I'm talking about when we put ourselves into situations whereby we get so wrapped up in our thinking and so out of alignment with actually what is happening in this moment, in this very moment. What's the problem? Like, what's actually happening? And you will notice most of the time we've kind of jumped out of our inner peace, our inner stability, our presence, because the mind has rattled off its thing. So, when I'm talking about embodying Reiki, when I'm talking about bringing the universal flow more consciously present, then what I'm really saying is when you finish your Reiki practice, right, you've done your Reiki, and the same, even if your spiritual practice isn't Reiki, it's meditation or it's yoga or it's going for a walk, and everything comes into alignment. Now, hopefully, you have moments where that happens. And if you don't have moments when that's happening for you at all, I would say just play around with different modalities that can help you get there. Because if you really seriously don't know what peace feels like, you're not going to be able to stay there because you don't even know where there is. So, assuming that for most of you, you have a experience of what it feels like when you feel kind of connected, right? Inner connection, you feel calm, your mind, the idea that it needs to be quiet is nonsense, but you are not like connected with it in such a way that you've lost yourself. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's we can have lots of thoughts about things, but we don't think with that, right? Like, I can look up into the sky and I can say, oh, it's a bit cloudy today. I don't think I'm the clouds. So I'm kind of distance. And if I had a thought that said, oh, you are the clouds, or if I had a thought, oh, the clouds are green, I wouldn't hook onto that and go, oh my God. I'd just be like, oh, that's a weird thought. So your thoughts are not you. And so that distance whereby you can see yourself, like you can see the mind creating thoughts, that's a very important place to get to. Honestly, that is the most important place to get to when you really have the knowledge and understanding, oh, I'm not my thoughts. My thoughts can be saying all kinds of things. I'm not that. So when you realize you're not that, the most important thing then is to take that backward step and to start to notice when you get dragged into it. So, for example, when the mind says something to you like you're useless, you're worthless, you're doing this wrong, it's just a thought. It's not true. Like, it's like, oh, you're the cloud. Oh, it's like, no, you're useless. Oh, and we go into that's the identification I'm talking about, where suddenly you're hooked in and you become useless. Like, you think you're useless. And so then you have merged with that thought. That thought has become your belief, and then you are merged with it. And you, the spirit of you, the individual life force, the life force of you, is no longer the life force of you. It's now useless. Do you get what I'm saying? Because this is honestly, this is so important, because once you see this merging that happens with certain thoughts, not all of them, right? If I sit here and go, oh, I'm a tree, there's not really much of me that believes that, right? I'm not going to be like merged and become the tree. But there are certain sticky thoughts that we all have, and we all have different ones depending on our upbringing. But a very common one is, I'm doing this wrong. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. These are very, very common, deep, deep, sticky thoughts that we have that grab us and merge us in, right? So when I talk about embodying, what I'm talking about is becoming more and more separate from thoughts. And that is not the same as disassociating, okay? But being able to see the thoughts coming and going and noticing how sticky they are, and noticing how much you believe them, and noticing all of this stuff. And then over time, you notice you get hooked in less and less, and then you can embody more and more the practice of simply flowing. Right? There's a part of you, there's a spiritual aspect of you that is just flowing. You're just aware. You're just watching the thoughts as you would watch the clouds or a running river. You don't think you're the river. You don't think you're the cloud. You don't think you're the tree. And yet, some of the stuff that our mind tells us, we think we're that. It's kind of illogical. So this is really the embodiment that I'm talking about. So that as you're going through your day, you're just noticing, like, what, especially if you're feeling uptight, stressed, angry, sad, whatever, those emotions will come up and say, hey, something's not quite right here. We're going off in a thought train, and the emotion is giving you the clue. So the emotion is a great barometer for what is the content I'm believing. Not necessarily the content of my thoughts. Like, you can have all kinds of awful thoughts, but if you don't believe them, like, so what? It really doesn't matter. So this is kind of the process that I'm talking about. I don't know if it makes it clearer for you or just gives you something to kind of hook into. But the practice really is to take the Reiki off just being a hands-on practice that you go to for rest and respite, and move it more into a sustained practice that is happening without you having to put your hands on yourself. Okay, because that's ultimately what you want to get to. You want to move from first aid Reiki, which is, oh, okay, I'm Reiki myself, I feel better. And you feel better, and then you go back out into the world, and then you get all stressed again. And then you have to do your Reiki, feel better, and then you go out and get all stressed again. It's not sustainable, and it's not the depth of Reiki as a spiritual practice. Like, Reiki as a spiritual practice takes us into a more sustainable, more permanent place of peace, so that we don't have to keep medicating ourselves. We don't have to keep running away from things that make us feel stressed. We don't have to keep moving away from triggers. We can really meet life. Like, everything life is giving us, we can really meet it, and we're not afraid of it. And whatever anybody might say to us, it's like, okay, like, it's not a problem. And if it is a problem, then we're looking at the stickiness, right? We're not beating ourselves up. Oh, you should be more spiritual, this, yada, yada. None of that. You are looking with curiosity. What is the belief that has sucked me back in to whatever this stress is? Right? If somebody says something to us and we're like, oh no, that's really awful. How could they think that? How could they say that? Whatever. What is the thought that you are believing? Okay, because there will be a trigger. And just because somebody says something mean to you doesn't mean you have to go into an apoplectic meltdown at all. Like, why? The only reason that would happen is if there's something in you that is meeting that comment or meeting that belief system, and it's validating some kind of belief in you. right? If someone says, oh, you're useless at this. Now, that's only going to hurt if you agree. And that can be really hard for people to hear, but it's true. Because if someone came up to me and went, I'm quite tall, I know I'm sitting at the moment, but if someone came up to me and went, you're so short, I would just think they need glasses. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, how could you say that to me? Ooh. But if someone came up to me and went, oh, you know, this was terrible. I saw you do this and you're a terrible this or a terrible that, it might trigger something in me because there might be a part of me that goes, yeah, you see, they've seen through you, or you know, this was what I was always worried about, whatever. And over the years, your work, your spiritual work, is to disentangle yourself more and more and more from these very, very sticky beliefs that you then merge into and believe that's me. That's what I am. That's who I am. Because ultimately, all we are individuals' expressions of a much greater universal flow. That's all we are. It's just energy moving through. And yes, there's many sticky thoughts and there's many societal, family, ancestral sticky patterns that we're in. But there is, I promise you, there is a place that you can get to where you see the patterns, but you also see that you are not that. You might be playing them out. You might be quite kind of involved with it. You might be having to do certain things out of patterns that maybe in your mind you're like, wish I didn't have to do that. But there's a part of you that is still separate. So it just feels different. It feels less like life and death. And it feels less like anxiety, like there's much less anxiety being produced by it because you don't really believe it. Right? So the embodiment part is different from the reikiing part. So the Reiki channeling part is the process that we do, and often it's the process we do to bring us back into the flow. Now, once you're in the flow, how long can you notice and be aware of when you snap out of it again? That's really the key thing. And sometimes it can feel like, oh, 5 minutes. Get up, kids are screaming, woof, I'm back in. But over time, as you keep bringing your attention to this, what throws me out of my flow, or what throws me out of my sense of presence, or what throws me out of feeling calm, that's what you're working on, rather than looking at it the other way and kind of going, oh my God, I'm so stressed. I need my Reiki to calm me down. Right? Actually, why are you getting stressed? Work on that. Because there is a total 100% possibility that when you detach yourself more and more and more from the identity of thought, you need less and less and less practice with Reiki, hands-on Reiki, because you're connected anyway, that you don't have to keep bringing yourself back, bringing yourself back. So hopefully that's brought more clarity into the videos I've been making recently. If not, or if you have other things to say about that, just chop it in the chat and the comments. It's always really useful for me, as I said, because then I get to notice how I'm communicating and how it's coming across and what's being misinterpreted through my communication, because I know I'm sometimes all over the place. And also, honestly, it's a very difficult kind of topic to put into words, because a lot of this is experiential. So you can create big philosophies about it, but that's just more thinking and more identifying with thinking. So the practice of it is the feeling. It's really the feeling of feeling awake, right? Just feeling awake. And when thoughts come in, you don't go back into identification or like, oh. And honestly, of course you do until you don't. So there's no blame in any of that, but it's just that's what you're focused on. If you focus on that, your spiritual life and your spiritual growth will move much quicker, much, much quicker than if your focus is on how do I calm myself down again? How do I calm myself down again? And then you just blindly go back out into the world and repeat all your patterns. So look at the patterns. Don't look at how do I calm myself down. I mean, obviously, calm yourself down as well. I'm not saying that. But bring your focus and attention into the right places, because that will speed up your snapping out of the identity for thought. So you're not looking up in the clouds and going, I'm a cloud, I'm a tree. Which is what is happening when you're like, I'm angry, I'm useless, I'm anything, is an identification with thought. Even I'm spirit. That's for another video. Let's not get into that. Anyway, hope that was useful. Thank you so much. Until next time. Bye.